You ever feel, why doesn't God do something? Anybody? You ever feel, you know, where are you? What are you doing? And you wrestle with what God is up to? Well, that's what our 40-day study is. You know, we began this study. We're at week 3. It's still not too late to start. Join one of our home groups, to be a part of one of our home groups. We still got some books back there. I got a DVD at home I forgot to bring back. And if you're not involved, about once a year, we do a 40-day study where we ask you to meet in groups in your homes and in various places and spend some time studying God's Word together. And this year, we chose the topic Servolution. And we're looking at how God has called us to serve. And I'm excited because I printed up more than 100 books, 15 DVDs, and it's all gone. And so this is really exciting to me, and it's a great time. And what was really good this week, Laura and I and Martha and my mother-in-law went to what's called our state convention for Southern Baptist Churches. Well, we're at the state convention. One of the pastors gets up, and he preaches, and he challenges us as a group of churches to become servants and to serve. And as he went down a list of things that churches could do, and he asked the audience to speak out to him, some things that the church needs to do to reach their community. And as they did that, people in the audience were shouting out different things and mentioning different things. And Laura was kind of keeping notes about that. About 80% of it we're doing. You know, we might not be one of these big churches, but I want to tell you something. We're on the front line of what God is doing. You know, we might not be one of the mega churches, one of the larger churches in the area, but we're on that front line of what God is doing and that renewing and that revival of what God is about to do. And so I'm excited. I love the church. I love this place. I love you guys. I'm having a great time. You know, they were all asking, how long you been at your church? How long you been at? 31 years. It's amazing for some to think that I've been here this long, and because that's very unusual. Because I love the church, I love the community, I love you guys. It's a great place. But I want to get into the message this morning. I want to ask, is anybody, I don't know, do they still do it? I mean, I remember going through school, especially elementary school, we had what was called show and tell. Anybody, do they still do that at school? I don't know if they still do that at school. But I grew up and they had show and tell. You know, you'd come back after the summer break or after Christmas or sometime, and you all take turns, and you got excited about showing what you got. You know, I got this, or we went here on our trip during the summer, and you had that show and tell time. Well, what I want to challenge us with this morning is, you know, the church is about show and tell. That we as a people of God are to be showing and telling. Because here's the problem. We have become real good at telling. We're good at telling people everything they do wrong, aren't we? Isn't the church? You know, really good at telling everybody, here's what you're doing wrong. We're really good at telling everybody they're lost. Now, those are true, all right? I'm not saying that's not true. But we're good at pointing out all these things. But have we really been showing? So if you look at your outline, I put a little phrase here, because here's the problem. The problem is the church has put on a bad show. That the church, you know, and I'm not talking about going to the movies and watching some movie. But the show that the church has been putting on has not been a real good show. If you turn the news on or you watch TV or you read a newspaper and you watch sitcoms, and how do they usually portray the Christians? How do they usually portray the church? You know, what do you usually read about the church? You know, the church is intolerant. And we talk about how the church is intolerant, or we hear the word hypocrite thrown out. You know, and we hear that word hypocrite thrown out. Or maybe you'll see, and most of the time I hear the conversation, the church is anti. You know, it's anti-abortion, it's anti-gay, it's anti-this, it's anti, and we keep hearing all of this. See, as Christians, we become really good at telling people what's wrong with them. Of pointing out the failures, pointing out the sin. We become real good at telling them. And then we try to live our lives, and we try to live that righteous life. Because here's my show. My show is, don't you want to be like me? I'm a Christian. Look at how I live. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't go with girls who do. That's what I grew up with. You know? And we put this show on. This is how Christians are. And it's a bad show. Have you ever seen a Christian behave in a way? Now, I'm going to be honest. I've seen this. I hope I'm looking out here, and I can't say it's been any of you. I'll preface this. At least I haven't observed it in any of you. But have you ever seen somebody behaving in a certain way, and you go, you know what? If that's what a Christian is, I sure wouldn't want to be a Christian. You ever thought that? I have. Honestly. You know, when I see somebody's attitude, you know, somebody behaving a certain way, and it's just kind of like, I have a hard time with that. And so this morning, I want us to kind of step back and think about show and tell. And the show I want to talk about this morning is the show Jesus put on. See, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Anybody familiar with the story? Yeah. Born in a manger. We're going to have that celebration pretty soon, right? It's coming close to Christmas. We'll be talking about all of that. You know, the birth of the virgin birth of Jesus, born in a manger. And when he got to be about 30 years old, he goes to the Jordan River and he's baptized by his cousin named John the Baptist. And so he's baptized by John the Baptist. And when he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, John recognized him not only as his cousin, but as a chosen one of God. If you're familiar with the story, he recognized him as a chosen one of God. That he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one that God had set aside, that he had promised from Genesis all the way through that Old Testament, that Jesus was fulfilling that promise. And John the Baptist recognized that. And so when he came to get baptized, he tells, you know, John says, now wait a minute. I'm the one that needs you to baptize me. I know who you are. But Jesus says, no, you got to baptize me. So John baptizing him. And then Jesus goes on to his ministry, and John continues his ministry. Well, after all that is going on, Jesus is out doing some miracles, doing some work, and sharing the message of God, proclaiming that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the midst of all of that, John gets arrested because he's smarting off about the king. Yeah. He's kind of talking bad about Herod. And so Herod, you know, when you're the king, you pretty much do whatever you want. So Herod says and doesn't like what John is saying, so he throws him in jail. So now John is sitting in jail, and the image he had of Jesus, the earthly ruler, is not happening. So he's starting to worry about, is he really the Messiah? Is he really the chosen one of God? And so John sends some of his disciples, just like Jesus had disciples, John had some. And they go and ask Jesus, are you really the Son of the living God? Are you really the Messiah? So get your little outline out. You can follow along. There's some blanks to fill out. But listen what the verse says here. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, why don't you circle that word deeds, okay? When John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? And Jesus answered, go and tell John what you hear and see. Why don't you put hear and see? Circle that. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preach to them. Why don't you circle that? Do you see this? Here are deeds and good news. Jesus came preaching. Remember one of our memory verses? Anybody remember that memory verse? Mark 10:45. You guys are looking at me like, I have no idea. See, you memorize it 1 week, then you file it away and forget it, right? For the Son of Man didn't only come to serve, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I kind of messed that up, didn't I? See, I know it. All right, see, I'm just as bad as you guys. I'm only a preacher, a creature maybe sometimes. Yeah. But Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And we need to see that. And here he's saying, look, John the Baptist said, I'm not sure. Are you Jesus? Are you really the Messiah? And he says, look at my deeds and look at my message. Good deeds and good news. And I want to challenge us as a church to be about good deeds and good news. And as I thought about good deeds, I looked at this verse right here. My children, 1 John 3:18. We should love people not only with words and talk, but by our actions and true caring. That we live in a broken world. That as I look at our world and I read the newspaper and I watch the news this week, some guy up in Sacramento goes around and kills police officers and carjacks cars and shoots people driving their cars. Or I read about Washington, the state of Washington, some high school up there. When a kid on a football team, they didn't say he was picked on. They didn't say he was bullying. Here's this good kid who goes into class and walks on campus and shoots a fellow student and some others. A good kid. Not one who was bullied. Not one who was in drugs. Not one. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that's hurting. And we need to have good deeds. Jesus healed the blind, made the lame walk, raised the dead. Jesus did some good deeds. Jesus did those miracles. We can't do miracles like that. God does. I believe God still does miracles like that. I've heard people healed. I've read the stories. I've seen it happen myself when doctors have now announced this person has cancer and then all of a sudden it's gone the next month when they go back in. God does those miracles. That's what God does. But what can we do? You know, what kind of good deeds can we do? I got on Google the other day. Anybody ever use Google, or is it just me? All right, I see some hands go up about Google. You know, I think we Google. I Googled good deeds. You can find all sorts of stuff on there. 40 good deeds, 10 good deeds. You find all sorts. And that's not talking about complicated things. You know, I was at McDonald's this week. Francis, you know, just in case you don't know, we go to the state commitment going for years. And Martha, Francis, and my mother-in-law go. But Francis didn't like McDonald's. We never got to eat at McDonald's on the trip. But she wasn't with us this time, so I ate at McDonald's. All right. But we're at McDonald's. There's this lady at McDonald's. She's got a child on her hip. You know how they just kind of attach there? Some of you women know what I'm talking about. You know, they got this child attached to her hip. You know, and she's got her tray, and she's got a cup that she's got to fill up, And I see her sitting there, and it's like, okay, here. So I went over, and I said, let me help you. So she fills her drink up, and I carried her tray and put it on the table for her. Is that a simple act of kindness? Yeah. See, there's simple. We look at, well, these things are so hard. Yeah. But just walking around, there's simple things you can do. You know that neighbor that could just use a phone call? You know, nobody ever comes by and sees them. I've shared with you, I mow my neighbor's yard. I've been mowing my neighbor's yard, you know, divorced mom and, you know, and just raising two kids. And I've been mowing her yard for years. I walk home yesterday, and guess what? My yard was mowed. Yeah. But simple acts of kindness, it's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not difficult. I'm not talking about going out and turning the world upside. I'm talking about just little simple acts. What can you do? What can you do to show love? You know, there's a hurting world out there. There's a confused world out there. See, what kind of things could you do just to say, hey, I care? You know, that old saying goes like this. I had to write it down because even though it's old, I do forget it. It goes like this. You know, people never know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I want to challenge us to good deeds. Think about something you could do for a neighbor. Think about something you can do for a friend. Think about something you can do for a coworker. Think about something you can do for a fellow student at school. Some little act of kindness. Just a little. Maybe a phone call. Maybe just picking up something and dropping it off. You know, what is that little act of kindness? So we need to do good deeds, not just with words. Don't just do with words. The church has done really good with that. We're good at telling people what's wrong with them. This is how you should live. Don't you want to be a Christian like me? Don't I look good? You know? And we put on this show of righteousness and maybe self-righteousness. And we put on this show when we need to be doing good deeds. Does that make sense? Does that fit? Yeah. But not only just the good deeds, we got to say the good news, okay? There's a lot of people that do a lot of good deeds. All right? Yeah. How's the old Boy Scout thing. Remember the old Boy Scout thing, helping the elderly person across the street? Remember the old Boy Scout thing? People do good deeds for all sorts of reasons. Yeah. They do good deeds because it makes them feel good. Yeah. People do good deeds because they want to make a show. Yeah. The church should do good deeds. We as Christians should good do deeds because we want to glorify God. See, when we do our good deeds, we need to mention God. Yesterday, we had Love Salida. And Dan coordinated it for Salida, and we met over at the park. And we got ready to go. And one of the guys there said, well, we need to pray. You know, I didn't say it. Somebody else said it. Because we're going to have to go figure out what everybody's doing. We're trying to figure it out. One of the guys said, we need to go and pray. Well, they looked at me to pray. I wonder why. Preacher's here, preacher prays. That's the way it usually goes, right? You guys, you had the preacher to your house for dinner, you go out for dinner. Who's going to pray? You're going to get the preacher to pray, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. So I pray. Well, when I prayed, here we are, it's Love Salida. It's not just churches, it's supposed to be everybody. Well, I'm a preacher, so I guess who I'm going to pray to? Guess who I'm going to talk about? And after I got done praying, I'm going, I sure hope everybody here was a Christian, because if not, they sure got to hear a lot about God. Yeah. Fortunately, I think everybody there was a Christian, and nobody complained. Yeah. But we need to also tell people, why am I doing this? You know, we need to let people know, you know why I do this? Because you matter. You know why I'm doing this? Because you have value. You know why I'm doing this? Because God loved me, and I want to share that love with you. I'm not talking about beating them in the head with a big black Bible, okay? You need to carry that big old thing around. Anybody remember those old family Bibles? Anybody have one of those old family Bibles? You know, about 6 inches thick? You know, looks like a, I don't know. You had that big old family Bible, you know? I think sometimes we want to carry them around as a Christian, just beat people with them. You don't have to do that. Just simple little words. Just like it's a simple act of kindness, just a simple act that God loves you and I do too. Does that make a difference? No strings attached. No pushing, no shoving, just simple, you know, God loves you, and I'm just doing it because God loves you, and I just want you to know that. See, we need to share the good news. We need to let them hear the good news, that there's value, there's purpose. See, this world is hurting. You know, and as I thought about this, you know how I say it, you know how I've been saying this for years, right? Some of you have been here a long time, you know where I'm going with this. I say this real simple, every day, almost every Sunday, year in and year out, you got to reach a point in your life where you say something along the lines of this, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. And my whole point is this. How many of us, if we're living our lives the way we want, really have a good life? How many, if we keep doing the things we're doing the way we're doing it, we're going to end up in a lot of trouble. Now, I'm not talking about going to jail. I don't think I ever would have went to jail. Might have came close a couple of times. You know, but I don't think I ever would have went to jail. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't be where I'm at today with my wife, my children, and the life I have if God hadn't changed my life. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it says. You know, as you look at your life, do you really think, I got a good life? I like the way my life's going. I'm satisfied with my life. It's a good life. But even when you're a Christian, even when I'm a Christian, I've had some tough times. Anybody else have some tough life? How many have been a Christian for a while and still have tough time? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not become a Christian and never have a problem. I wish. Yeah. Wish it was a magic wand. All right. Yeah. But they got the good news that it is a better life. There is a meaning and there is a purpose to life. I look at life this way. You know, this world's pretty messed up. Anybody agree with me? This world's pretty well messed up. Yeah. And God's trying to work here, right? He wants to work here. He desires to work here. He wants to work with us and through us. And this world is hell? No. Because hell is a place where God doesn't work. You know, if you think this world is bad, think what hell must be like, where God can't do anything and doesn't do anything. See, we got good news. Jesus makes a difference. God cares. God loves. You have value. You have purpose. You have meaning. And so what we need to do as a church is we need to mix together our good deeds and our good news. And like I said, I don't think we've done very well with this. I think we've kind of mixed it up. So I want to talk about being show and tell. That we need to walk out of here this morning doing show and tell. Living our lives with good deeds and good news. And letting the world see this. And letting the world see this story. Let me give you an illustration. I'm going to talk about Paul this morning. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Anybody familiar with Paul? He's in here. About halfway through the book of Acts, you'll find Paul. Yeah. Well, Paul first appeared at a stoning party. And we're not in Washington, and we're not in Colorado, so it's a different kind of stoning, okay? All right, that's Washington, Colorado. Yeah. This is literally a rock party, all right? Not a rock and roll party either. You know, and you know, we get these pictures of these guys pick up these little bitty rocks when they stone people. They picked up rocks to stone people. Well, this is where Paul shows up. The first account of Paul, that Paul's a coat check guy at the stoning party. They're getting ready to stone Stephen. And Paul's sitting there checking the coats in. Drop your coat right here. I got you. He's taking care of their coats. Yeah. And that's the first time we see Paul. And as time goes on, a few years later, we read about Paul there in the book of Acts. He's on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. Yeah. He enjoyed that party so much, he wants to go out and do it more. So he's on that road to Damascus to go and kill Christians. But God had a different plan. All right? God interrupts that journey. You ever had God interrupt you? You know, you're on your way somewhere and God says, hey, I got something else for you to do. Yeah. Well, God interrupted Paul's journey. And Paul had an encounter with God. And Paul reached that point in his life where he said, I can't do things the way I'm doing it. I got to do it different. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way, God. Come in my life and take control. That's a Damascus Road experience Paul had. And Paul changed. Well, Paul changed, but not everybody is sure Paul changed. All right? Is he playing a trick? You know, is he trying to discover who the Christians are so he can kill them? And so Paul goes on, and the guy named Barnabas goes and finds Paul and says, you know, checks Paul out. All right. Paul ends up going on several missionary journeys. Paul ends up sitting in jail for several years. Paul ends up in all sorts of trouble. You can see all the things that happened in Paul's life as he went around preaching about Jesus. But as he went around preaching about Jesus, many people started believing. All right. And he went to an area where they weren't all Jews. They were what were called Gentiles. He went to this area called Galatia on his first journey. And so all of a sudden, here's these Jewish leaders, Peter, James, John, Matthew, all these 12 disciples were all good Jews. And now all of a sudden, God is pouring his spirit out on the Gentiles over here. And they're not quite sure what to do about that. You know, is God for everybody or is God just for the Jews? You know, is God just for me or is God for everybody? You know, that's the question they're debating. You can read you can read Acts 15. And you can read the story of that conversation that they're debating. Yeah. And so they're debating, what do they need to do? If the Gentiles want to become believers and follow Jesus, what do they need to do? What do they have to do? And the big thing they're talking about is circumcision. Now, for you women, that's not a big deal. But for us guys, it matters. You know, it is a big deal for us guys. And so they're debating what you have to do to become this believer. And so you read chapter 15 of the book of Acts and you kind of get an idea of what's going on. And they come to a conclusion. I want to read you that conclusion that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And I want you to see what they told Paul to do. I want you to see how they explained to Paul, who was going out preaching the good news. This is what they told him. Look here. In fact, James, Peter and John, now just so you know, that's the inner circle. Those are the guys that were closest to Jesus. You know, there were 12 of them. Remember, anybody remember 12, right? There was 12 of them. These three were the inner circle. They were there at the Mount's Transfiguration and several occasions with Jesus privately, who were known as the pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me. That's Paul. And they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers, that we're preachers too. Here's a picture. Here's these Jewish leaders saying, we see God using Paul and Barnabas. We recognize that God is using them. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles. Keep telling the good news. Keep preaching the good news. Keep telling them about God. While they continued their work with the Jews. You go over here and we're going to go over here. Everybody's going to get the message. God wants everyone to hear the news of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Red, yellow, black, and white. It doesn't matter. Remember singing the song? Anybody sing that song? They're all precious in His sight. God wants everybody, Jews or Gentiles. While they continued to work with the Jews. Their only suggestion that we keep on helping the poor. Which I've always been eager to do. Do you see what he's saying here? Here's good news. Go tell that good news. Go share that good news. But don't forget about the good deeds. I think the churches forget about good deeds over the years. What do you guys think? I think we're getting really good at telling. Telling people what's wrong with them. Telling people how to straighten their lives out. We got real good at telling them they're sinners. Anti-negative, against. What about helping the hurting world? We live in a world that's hurting. There's financial pains. There's physical pains. There's emotional pains. There's spiritual pains. We're living in a world that's hurting. Do we see good deeds today? See, that's what I want to challenge. That's what this whole study is about, servolution. We want to change our world by serving good deeds and good news. And I mentioned last week, I want to make sure you get a picture. I'm not just, you know, this is what's amazing to me about God. When God came, He brought the good news through Jesus Christ. But He also cared about us physically, didn't He? Jesus did what? He did miracles. He cared for the oppressed. He brought forgiveness to the oppressed. He brought healing to the sick. He cared for that. He cared for those who were demon-possessed in those emotional battles. Remember, He cast out demons. You know, I was looking at our study, and I've been praying about what to preach after this. I'm getting ready for Christmas already. You need to know. I'm going to do a series on called, and Dan's going to preach one of the messages, Old-Fashioned Christmas. How many want an old-fashioned Christmas? Remember the old-fashioned Christmas? So I'm going to do a series on an old-fashioned Christmas. How can we have a old-fashioned Christmas? But I'm thinking about what after that? And our world is a tough world on us, not just physically, but emotionally. Anybody on board with that one? You know, and I wonder why. This is something that so I'm looking at this series of messages, and I'm thinking about this, and you guys can give me some input at some point. Why is it if somebody breaks a leg, we tell them to go to a doctor, right? If somebody's in here got a broken leg, what are we going to tell them? Just walk it off, right? Suck it up. Yeah. And you know, somebody breaks something physically, we'll do. You got to get to the doctor. You got to go see that. You got the flu. You got a cold. You got to go to the doctor. You got to go see the doctor. And yet when somebody has a battle with depression and frustration and stress, we attach some kind of a stigma to it, don't we? You know? I think we got it. I don't know about you, and I've shared with you. Mondays are rough on pastors. Yeah. Mondays, you ask Laura, she doesn't like being around me on Monday. Because that's a rough day. Yeah. It's kind of a depression day. You know, we could have 200 people in here on Sunday, and I'd walk out of here Monday going, man, I wish there was 300 people. That's just the preacher. Yeah. It's just... You know, it's like, man, it's frustrating. Why can't I get, you know? Anybody here ever get frustrated? Or is it just a preacher that gets frustrated? Yeah. Stress? Depression? Aggravation? Anybody ever drive you crazy? Maybe I'm one driving you crazy right now. Yeah. See, we got this hurting world, and so I'm thinking I might need to do a series on mental health. I think mental health would be a good series. I don't know about you guys, but I think mental health would be a good series. Because I fight those things, you know? And I think we need to see this. And we got this hurting world, and we got the good news. God cares for you physically. You got financial stress? God cares. You're poor? God cares. You got a broken bone? God cares. You got cancer? God cares. You got stress emotionally? God cares. You got depression? God cares. You got this mental challenges? God cares. Am I right? Do we got this good news? Then do we show the world we care? Do we show? It's show and tell time. It's time to tell them. And so I want to encourage us. And this whole 6 weeks that we're doing this study, I'm going to keep telling you. My goal this week was to do a simple act of kindness every day. That was my goal. I'll be honest with you, I didn't make it. But I did most of the days. And I want to challenge us. What's your goal? Wasn't that, I think that was at the end of the challenge, at the day two. Come on, week two, guys. You know, every day, a simple act of kindness. And I want to challenge you. I put it this way here. I just got just a couple of really quick points right here. Proclamation without demonstration lacks authentication. Don't you like big words there? Do that for my English major over there. Proclamation without demonstration lacks authentication. This is truth without love. I think the church has been seeing this. I think this is where the church is, many churches is today. That the church is seen as we got this and we're beating people up with righteousness and not good deeds. We're telling them what's wrong. We tell them how to fix themselves. We're telling them what they need to do instead of us doing something for them. And I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us to do something. See, for so long we think our righteousness, you know, I don't tell people about Jesus. I've never led somebody to Jesus. I've never shared my faith with anybody. I'm just living my life. And we think that life of righteousness, they're going to see me and they're going to want to be like me. I don't think many people want to be like Gary. I just don't. You know, especially when Gary gets behind the steering wheel of a car, right? You know. But we think our righteousness is what they want to see. You know what they want to see? They want to see love. Does that sound okay? Does that sound good? They want to see love. They want to see us loving on one another. Maybe that verse that's on the wall as you walk out the door, turn around and look back, okay? Walk out those doors and turn around and look back. And you'll see a verse. And it says this, they will know you're my disciples because you live a righteous life. And everybody sees your righteousness before them. Right? It says, no, they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. See, are we showing love? Are we demonstrating love? Is it just this anti-church? You know, we're anti-this and we're anti-this. And, you know, it really gets lifted up good during the election time, doesn't it? I mean, don't you hear it a lot right now? You know, as November Tuesday rolls around and it's election time. Now, I'm going to tell you, you need to vote. And I'll be honest with you, I let my values cast my vote, all right? That's how I make my choice, based on my values. And we need to vote. But that's not how I'm going to get people to Jesus. I remember when one of the first churches, when I was pastoring and preaching, the first church I was in, I got in trouble because there was a group in the church that wanted me to get up. This is 1980, so who ran for president in 1980? Anybody historical here? A guy named Ronald Reagan. And I was told by these people in the church, I need to get up and tell people to go vote for Ronald Reagan. And I told them, I can't do that. Yeah. Now, I didn't say how I was going to vote, and I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to vote, but I didn't tell them how I was going to vote. I mean, but I can't get up and say that. Now, you want to talk privately about how to vote? Come and see me before you leave. I can give you some good instructions. I know about school boards. I know about certain petitions and, you know, I know about certain politicians, and, you know, I try to do my research, but I'm not going to do it from the pulpit. I'm not going to do it from my preaching. You know, because I'm going to tell you what, I don't care who the president is, it's not going to turn our country to Christians, okay? Just because we have a Christian president, don't make the nation Christian. So, because here's one of my battles, and here's one of the things I think about, that just because we have a Christian leader, it doesn't just kind of trickle down effect that makes everybody a Christian. It's a decision that every one of us have to make, personal. Now, do I think we need to have certain values in our leadership? Yes, and that's going to dictate my vote. But just because we have that, see, do we show that love? See, we're known anti, and I got in trouble because I wouldn't say that. Yeah. See, that's not going to make the difference. I'm going to ask you, do you have simple acts of kindness? If you're proclaiming it and you're not showing love, you know what verse I thought about putting in here is I thought about putting a verse in here. I thought about that verse there in Romans and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that verse came to my mind that without love, you are a clanging cymbal. And all you do is make noise. See, we can talk a lot and make a lot of noise, but we're not going to change our world without love. See, we need to demonstrate that love. The other one I put this way, it's just the opposite. Demonstration without proclamation lacks an explanation. Demonstration without proclamation lacks explanation. And this is love without truth. See, some people are good just because they're good people. Anybody know good people that aren't Christians? I know good people that aren't Christians. They're really good people. They're nice, they're compassionate, they're caring, but they've never crossed that invisible line. See, goodness doesn't take you to heaven. Anybody know this, right? Anybody familiar with this? You're not going to get to heaven because you're good. All right? You don't cross this line because you're good. I'm good. I helped the poor. I went to the gospel mission. I went to Love Salida. Whatever. I mowed my neighbor's yard. I've done all these good things. And so there's this invisible line because I'm good. No, you don't cross an invisible line by being good. See, you cross that invisible line when you say something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's when you cross that invisible line. See, and so we need to not only show that love and demonstrate that love, but we need to proclaim that love. We need to show that love not with just our actions, but with our words. And I want to challenge you. Tell people you love Jesus. I've shared with you, it's amazing to me. We get intimidated by the news. We get intimidated by society that you can't talk about God and you can't talk about Jesus. But you can. I've shared with you as I'm at the AT&T store, the lady comes to my house, how they find out I'm a preacher. I'm at Disneyland, in the middle of Disneyland, in a Halloween festival thing. And they're talking about, and I get to talk about Jesus. And nobody's picking on me, and nobody's yelling at me. Oh, you can't say that. I believe people want to hear this. See, the world has, let me give you a little picture here. The world has this negative image of the church because of news media. Would you all agree with me? Does the news portray Christians as really good? Do the soap operas, comedy shows, how do they usually portray Christians? You ever try to find a good picture of a preacher on TV? They're not there. Yeah. And we see all that. Here's what I want you to know this. We're not going to change the world by trying to change the news. We're going to change the world by you changing your neighbor. By you changing that coworker. God doing the changing, but you doing those simple acts of kindness. That fellow student that sits next to you at school. That coworker that gets on your nerves. See, this is what changes. See, I believe we're going to change the world one person at a time because we're not going to change the news. I don't know about you, but I watched the news this week and I see a Christian leader doing these certain things and behaving, and it makes the news and it breaks my heart because it's like, oh man, it's going to make it harder now for me to tell people about Jesus. Because it does. Yeah. When you get a preacher or a leader going off the wild side and doing some stupid stuff, and then it's like, well, all Christians are like that. Isn't that how the world usually reacts? You know. But then when they meet you, and they get to know who you are, and they get to know that you love Jesus, and well, maybe all Christians aren't like that. Well, at least this one's not. Yeah, I mean, you know, most Christians are like that, but you know, my friend over here, he's not like that. She's not like that. And she's a Christian. See, that's how I think we change the world. We change the world one person at a time. Don't get caught up in the news. Don't get caught up with all the portrayals of Christians. Get caught up with simple acts of kindness. And see what God can do through you. And see how God can use you. And see what God wants to accomplish through you. See, I really believe God wants to do great things and accomplish great things. But we need to show and tell. Does that make sense? Does it all add up? That we have the good news. There is one way to heaven. There is only one way. And it is through Jesus Christ, God's only Son. It is good news. He loves you. You have value. You have purpose. You have meaning. And there's a better life out there that God wants you to live. I don't care. You're hurting. God loves you. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, God's there for you. God is there. And let me show you how God loves you. Let me serve. Let me share. Let me be a part of what God is doing. I want to wrap up with this verse right here as Jesus was talking to his disciples. He had sent them out. They had gone out to do good deeds. Now, just kind of reassure you here, you don't have to do them by yourself. Jesus sent them out two by two. I've made it even easier for you. I sent you out as small groups. Does that make it easier? Get in your small group. Then you can, you know, it's easier to serve when you got a group of people. You know, we had a nice group yesterday as we went around and cleaned up. Go down here and get off the freeway. I'll tell you which way. Get on 99 and get off the freeway at Hammett. And you can see all the freeway I cleaned up with several others. We cleaned up the off-ramp and on-ramp over here on 99. And you can see it's all clean. I mean, you can't believe the trash people threw out. You know, people are messy. And we cleaned up all the on-ramp and off-ramp over there on 99 going north and a little bit going south. Yeah. Why? Because I want to love people. I want this town to know us we love. Just so you know. Just so you get the picture. I want to make sure you get the picture here. They're going to do Christmas for the families here in Salida. The Chamber of Commerce and the Rotary are going to do Christmas. Well, they're not sure if they could get to the fire station. They usually do it at the fire station, but with all the work over there, you know, it's kind of a mess over there. They're going to use our church. And they're going to be here sorting gifts, and people are going to be coming in here getting gifts, and we might need some help. So I'll let you know as time goes along what we need to minister to that. But these little acts of kindness, and you don't have to do it on your own. Jesus sent them out by twos. And when they came back, look at what it says. Jesus sent these out, these 12 out, with the following instructions. Don't go among people who are not Jewish, or unto the Samaritan city. Now, this is when he first got started, all right? He needed to lay the foundation. Sometimes you got to kind of pull back before you can go all the way in. You ever do that? How do you get in the, when you're going to get in the swimming pool, how do you guys get in the pool? You know what I do when I go get in the swimming pool? It's like, I'm going to get in the pool. Is it cold? Or anybody? Yeah, I want to make sure that water's warm before I jump in that pool. Well, that's kind of Jesus. You know, he's like, we're going to go here, but right now we just got to do this. You know? And so that's, he's kind of setting the stage. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. As you go, spread this message. Here's the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. All right? There's the good news. But then look what he says. Cure the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Cleanse those with skin disease. And force demons out of people. Give these things without charging, since you receive them without paying. What do you see? Good news and good deeds. And I want to challenge us with that. God is sending you. God is sending me with this message. There's good news and good deeds. And we need to share that. This is a broken world we live in. I think all of us would gladly admit this world is hurting. That we have neighbors, friends, we have family members that are hurting. You know, I'm dealing with my family. My mom passed away last November. You guys remember that. And I'm helping my sister. My sister and I have had to step in and help with my dad. He's 82 years old. And help with my brother who has some issues and addictions. And we're having to step in. And this is a hurting world. Where do you need to step in at? Is there a family? Is there a neighbor? Is there a coworker, a fellow student? Where do you need to step in with the good deeds so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ? I challenge you with that this morning. Just as he sent the 12, he's sending us. Good news with good deeds. And your righteousness will not show them the love of God. Your good deeds will show the love of God. As we end, I want to end like we end last week. And we're going to end every one of these messages. There's a verse here and it says, what kind of verse? Memory verse. How you guys doing with your memory verses? I don't see much confidence with that. You're supposed to go, yeah, we got them. All right. I messed up the first one, all right. Matthew, Mark 10:45. I somewhat messed that one up. That the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. See, I got it. I knew that one. I don't know what last week's was. Give me the reference, I could tell you. Wasn't it? I think it was Ephesians 2:10, right? Wasn't it Ephesians 2:10? That we were created by Christ Jesus, God's workmanship, created for good works. See, kind of messed up, but it's in there. How about this one? You guys ready? You know how we do this, right? Just so you know, if this is your first time, what we do is we quote the reference, we quote the verse, we quote the reference. And you need to memorize these, all right? Now, I can't memorize anything. Because you memorize phone number. How many know your address? Anybody know where you live? Anybody know where you live? See, some of you guys are sitting there shaking your head, no. I know where you live, though, okay? Yeah. You memorize all sorts of stuff. You can memorize this. So let's do this first. Reference first, reference. You ready? I want to hear you. I want to hear you. You ready? 1, 2, 3. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. 1 Peter 4:10. That didn't sound too good to me. Was it just me that messed it up or was it all of us? Let's do this again, all right? Come on, let's do this again. You ready? 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. 1 Peter 4:10. All right. Now, I picked these out. Thank you, Stephen, for turning me down. I picked these out because I picked short ones. All right. I didn't do like some of our studies that had like two verses. I gave you short ones so you can get this one. All right. Now, if you're not in a small group to help you do this, see Stephen afterwards. We have groups meeting almost every night of the week. All right? There's one that meets this afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I know Thursday morning, Friday night. We have groups. Plug in. Be a part. You're not on this on your own. But God has called us to show and tell. We've done enough telling. I think it's time to start showing with good deeds that others will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We got family. I know I got family. I want to see know Jesus. I got neighbors. I want to see know Jesus. Co-workers and friends. I want to see know Jesus. Good deeds and good news. Order doesn't matter. Just get it done. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. That you're a loving God. A God of grace and mercy. And you freely have given it to us. It cost us nothing. You paid it all when you died on the cross. But you've called us to share that good news. And to show those good deeds. Lord, I pray for wisdom and strength for these that are here. As I pray for myself, that we'll see those opportunities to do the good things. Not for our glory, not for our praise, not for a pat on the back, but to bring glory to your kingdom, that it will open the door for us to share the good news. So, Lord, open our eyes to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our fellow students, to those that are about us, open our eyes that we may see how we can show the love of God to them, that they may hear the good news and come to know you personally. Guide us, direct us, encourage us, empower us. Thank you for loving us and setting us free to share the good news. And to show the good deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our practice as a church to give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's just an opportunity for me to stand here and to minister to you. Maybe there's things you're wrestling with in life. Maybe you're hurting this morning. And I want to tell you, God cares when you're hurting. And maybe you need some help. Maybe you want some prayer. I'm here to pray with you if you're hurting this morning. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line. And you've really never said, God, I want to be your child. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you try to do good things. But you've never crossed that invisible line that says, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. I invite you to that decision. Maybe there's just something in your life you want prayer. Maybe you want to pray for someone else. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. But please don't go out of here with a burden that you haven't given to God, that you haven't trusted to Jesus. I'm here to share. I'm here to minister. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing this song. And you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor. Because God does know your name. Did you know that? God knows your name. God knows who you are, and he loves you. And I think it's a perfect song because if you're hurting this morning, I want you to know God knows you. He knows where you're at, and he loves you. And I want to tell you something else. This church loves you, and we love you here, and I love you. We're going to have a great time as we journey together. But I had a chance to share with you in the midst of that. Maybe there's something you want to share with me. Maybe there's a specific prayer request. In your worship folder is a little blue card. Some of you have filled these out 1,000 times. I don't care. Fill them out again. I like hearing from you. Maybe there's a prayer need. Maybe there's a prayer concern. Maybe there's a question about something I said. Maybe there's something God wants you to share. So take a few minutes to fill that blue card out. Let me know what God is up to. Let me know how we can serve together or how this church maybe can serve you. So take a few minutes to fill that out. And I appreciate that opportunity. I'm going to have our ushers come forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer. Then you just drop that blue card in the offering bag with the gifts and offerings. We'll give God the glory and the honor.